proudly student and listener-supported community radio. CIUT 89.5 FM, the sound of your city.
This program is sponsored by A Different Booklist. Located at 779 Bathurst Street, A Different Booklist is an African-Canadian-owned bookstore specializing in the rich literature of African and Caribbean diaspora and the Global South. For more information, visit www.adifferentbooklist.com.
Good morning. Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. We hope to be speaking shortly with Diana Johnstone. She is the author of some wonderful books. Probably the most poignant to me was her book, Circle in the Darkness, memoirs of a world watcher. And she's been producing in recent months some very poignant articles. They appear in various places. You can go to Diana Johnson and find her writings. But there is a development in Europe. We'll talk about it a bit. We're hoping to get her online. When we do, I'll let her talk about this. But the European Union is in an uproar. And it's, of course, thanks to the Donald of Mar-a-Lago. They're beginning to assert themselves, as they probably should have a long time ago, but they've also decided they want to kind of behave like President Trump by basically seeing if they can remove people from jobs. And there is a very well-known and highly respected commentator and European Union consultant, I guess I'm going to use that word, Jacques Beau, and from Switzerland. And he has been an advisor and one who makes, based on his long experience, military experience and work in intelligence, provides commentary on events going, and particularly, of course, the war in Ukraine, but also just general policy of the West towards Russia, China, etc. And apparently, the upper echelon of the European Union have decided they really don't appreciate his comments. And they have they've taken punitive action against him. And when we have Diana Johnson, we will maybe get some details on it. But basically, what I understand is taking place is that those who work in intelligence, who are supposed to provide factual information and assessments of risk and that kind of thing, highly trained people, the best ones, best of them, give honest opinions to those who actually exercise power. But his honest opinion is they never should have or should not be NATO and the Western states in an antagonistic relationship to Russia. I think that's an accurate summary. But now steps are being taken to put him in jeopardy. And again, I'm not sure the details, but it really is close to the, it amounts to depriving him of some rights. And And the accusation is that he has been echoing or reflecting Russian policy. But see, that's a problem if you have, if you're an analyst and you say, well, we ought to have a negotiated and diplomatic relationship so that we can carry on without getting into conflict. If that's your opinion, and everybody else says, no, we really ought to have war, or we ought to be sanctioning, we ought to be trying to crush. And if you say, well, I'm not here to harm or support either side, but I'm telling you what I think would happen if you continue down the course, because that's what advisors are supposed to do. But now ideology has completely taken command, and those who are professional observers who know their stuff are not appreciated, and they're accused of being on the other side, which is what they mean by that is that you're not agreeing to echo whatever the Trump or the Starmer or Macron say. You're supposed to just echo them, or put in extra paragraphs into their case. But if the point is to be an actual observer and tell them your best advice and make commentary, there is very little you can do more than that, but you shouldn't be punished. But the fact that they are punishing Jacques Beau should be a a warning to the rest of us. We should be aware that this is a threat to our ability to function in what is widely called a democratic society, where freedom of speech, et cetera. We need freedom of speech, of course, so that we can make intelligent choices. But if they say, no, you can't make that choice, that's off the table, when there is no war, there haven't been a meeting of the Canadian Parliament to say, well, we are going to wreak havoc with Russia or China. There actually has been no such decision. All we have are executive policies, all of them dictated by NATO headquarters, places like that. But the people haven't actually and been engaged with this, and they haven't heard, for example, the opinions of a man like Jacques Beau, because he's not really on the radar of mainstream media, but he's on the radar of people who know what they're talking about. And there's been this now an executive decision to to really shut him down. And unless there's going to be somebody here who differs with it, what it would be tell us is that we're drifting into a situation where we have Hobson's choice. We get no choice at all. So that we're going to be told what is good for us. And we're told not to listen to someone like Jacques Beau. Actually, I'm more interested in him now than I was previous, because I have slight knowledge of him, but he's someone who is very careful about his positions. They want to say, well, they're calling him now a Russian mouthpiece and stuff like this. He pointed out he has no relations with Russia. He hasn't been to Russia. He says that he doesn't go on media that he considers where he thinks he is going to be misrepresented, or if there's an implication that he agrees with the policy of any particular state. His position is that he's never accepted any favors from them. He's not interested in any such thing. And he doesn't make himself available to anything that would resemble propaganda. Yet he's accused, therefore, I would say, if he were here, I would punch him in the shoulder and say, isn't this funny? You're dangerous to them because you're not a propagandist. And from their point of view, he's got the smartest propaganda of all because he doesn't belong to, and he, by the way, he doesn't go, he doesn't kiss the Blarney Stone. He doesn't say, oh, I don't like the leader of Russia or I don't like the leader of the United States. To him, that's beside the point. And that's why people like Jacques Beau are valuable to us, because it's not a, if you're doing proper analysis, personalities, and your little chart of what I like and what I don't like is beside the point. So it's an important matter. It comes at a time when we have other related issues which we should be talking about, which Jacques Beau does speak to, and that is the breaking up and change, transformation of the circumstances, political circumstances of Europe, which is becoming quite dramatic. And similarly, there is developments in Asia which have the same quality. And frankly, let's just go to the names. Germany, which you may remember, lost World War II. Germany fought the war in the name of national and racial supremacy. That was Germany's calling card. And there was the Untermensch, and that'd be the rest of us. And their ally, Japan, who adopted militaristic and fascistic policy and celebrated its conquest in Asia. And both these states now are becoming, it looks like they've developed a seven-year itch. They both want to become players. And, of course, Trump wants them to become players. And, well, actually, almost all the modern administrations in Washington and Europe have been taking, frankly, quietly removing the restraints on their ambition. And as they do that, they put us all very much in jeopardy. Because it's actually taking place in Asia and in Europe is a retreat from the victory over fascism back toward inciting both Germany and Japan to play their role of being the auxiliary to Western foreign policy, create, as they are very rapidly creating, a new Germany, a good old replica of previous encounters, which will be a spear aimed at Russia. The army is to be expanded. They're now talking draft. I'm probably behind my times there in terms of how ambitious they are becoming. And similarly with Japan. And remember, what is taking place is the dismantling of the United Nations, which was the ground floor of contemporary history. The United Nations, which recognized the equality of nations. You see, that wasn't Germany's or Japan's policy. They did not believe in the equality of all countries. They didn't believe in the sovereignty of Untermensch. But that's being removed, and Germany is being encouraged to get back on the highway where it was last seen as a world player. Probably the moment that was most dramatic was the bombing of Serbia by NATO-led forces, and Germany participated. When they did that, actually, they crossed the Rubicon. There were people pointed it out, but it was all said, well, it's for a good cause. So they were permitted to get their warplanes in the air again. And of all the people that they should be bombing would be Serbia and raising hell in the Balkans, because they'd been there before. And I remember Helmut Kohl being absolutely beside himself with pleasure that they were finally getting back, putting on the gloves again and beginning to strike at people. You could look it up. The New York Times wrote about it at the time, that they were able to say, there were certain German words that they hadn't used since World War II. And Kohl said, now we can use those words again. And so he felt like a full-blooded patriot. Of course, being a full-blooded patriot, he was bombing Serbia. We can take a break, because I think we're going to need to we're probably not going to be able to reach Diana, but so I think we'll take a little break here, and we'll come back on the same theme. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. All right. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. That was from the legendary guitarist of Booker T and the MGs. He co-wrote rock classics. That's Steve Cropper. And he has passed away, and those guys produced a lot of memorable music. So, well, we may be talking to Dinah Johnson, we hope. But thank goodness there's a lot of fancy technology that makes it possible. I want to come back to the point that this we began with, which is the Jacques Beau. The reason we're emphasizing is that he's being, I think, he's close to being arrested, to put it bluntly, by the European Union big shots. And the European Union has turned into kind of an ugly situation. No wonder there are states who are part of the European Union are beginning to say maybe they don't want to be, because out in the upper echelons of the European Union, just like the upper echelons of NATO, they can make decisions that impact smaller states. It really wouldn't matter the size, but to be able to make decisions and punitive ones to individuals in various states who come under the rubric of the EU. And it's becoming, and I can tell from the Diana Johnstone's writing, somewhat critical situation. And it does speak to a matter that we have been wanting to address on the Taylor Report, which is the quiet the steps being taken are not being widely discussed. It's kind of like we're on a slippery slope here, where Germany is encouraged to kind of begin to throw its weight around, and with the assumption that they will fight Russia on our behalf. That would be the American favorite system. In World War I, the United States did not join the war until it was pretty clear that if they came in, they could win it, become the dominant power, which they did. The loss of life was immense in Britain, France, and Russia. And the same thing happened in World War II. You always want to remember, I think, that the United States did not declare war on Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany declared war on the U.S. The U.S. had stayed out, and the Europeans had been engaged. And Canadians know this very well, because one of the happy little experiences Canadians like to have when they interact with Americans is, when did you come into the war with Hitler? And it would be 2 years after everybody else had. And, well, of course, it was a good thing they did enter the war, but that, it's they obviously, in these instances, and I would expect in the future, they prefer proxy wars, where they use subordinate states or states that are dependent upon them, Canada, looking at you, and so as to make their life easier and less at risk while other people fight, which is going on in Ukraine right now. If they do have a peace agreement, and I really doubt it, but if they do, it will be, you will look at the map and say, what was the point of letting this go on instead of solving it? Which I believe, I keep coming back to this name, let's make him famous, Jacques Beau was saying. So we have a situation where we should be fighting to maintain what was accomplished in World War II.